Okay, this is Michael Williams with Rogue Investor, and if you're standing by waiting, we are about 1 minute away from starting the teleconference. So please just stand by, be patient, wait about 1 minute, and we'll get started. Okay, looks like according to my clock here, it's 8 o'clock exactly, so we're ready to get started with the 10-10-10 foreclosure plan teleconference. And again, this is Michael Williams with Rogue Investor. I want to thank everybody for spending a few minutes of their Tuesday evening to learn about foreclosure opportunities. And as you know, that's kind of a big topic right now in the news. You know, if you went away possibly to another planet for a little while, you may not be aware that foreclosures are everywhere, that the economy has, you know, hit us all in some form or fashion, and unfortunately some people it's hit harder than others, and there are many foreclosures on the market. The banks have inventories that are beyond belief, and what all this means for an investor is that it's a lot of incredible opportunity, but you have to know what to do with that opportunity. So that's what we're going to talk about right now. According to what I just looked up today, if this is correct, there are roughly 1.9 million homes in foreclosure as of April of 2009. So that's just an incredible, incredible number of foreclosures out there. And as we know, you know, the economy runs in cycles, and we've seen higher foreclosures. We've seen bad times. We've seen good times, and we'll see good times again. So, you know, the question is, when will those good times come? Are they here again already, or do we need to wait another year? Is it 2 years? What is that? And of course, you know, that's the million-dollar question. And if I could answer that, you know, there would be people knocking down my door right now, trying to find out that information. So, in the United States, foreclosures. One thing that, you know, I go around to different parts of the country as well as other countries in the world, and I talk about international properties as well as foreclosures and tax liens. And what is difficult sometimes to explain is that the United States really is, you know, United States. These are like different little countries in some ways. So foreclosures have hit harder in different parts of the United States, and this may be, you know, something that everybody knows already, but it's good to remember. So for example, Nevada, California, and Florida, those are three of the hardest hit states in the United States. And Nevada being hit the hardest, there's one in 67 homes in foreclosure right now in Nevada. In Florida and California, it's roughly one in 130, I believe it is. So if you compare that to, you know, some of the other states, they're running maybe one in 1,000 or one and as high as 10,000. So there are different parts of the country where the opportunities are better, but there's also different parts of the country that have been hit harder by economic downturns. So let's talk about foreclosures. The rough definition of what a foreclosure is it's a loss of ownership rights to a property, through the title or the deed of a property, and resulting from the failure to pay either a mortgage, a lien, some type of debt or something that is attached to that property that has an expiration period, that has a time that where that debt has to be paid off. And of course, you know that I do a lot of talking about tax liens and tax deeds. And tax liens, are liens on a property for failure to pay taxes, whether that's government taxes, city taxes, state taxes, county taxes, whatever that may be. Typically, it's county taxes in most states. But failure to pay those taxes can result in a foreclosure. Failure to pay a mortgage can result in a foreclosure. And even failure to pay a second mortgage or failure to pay another type of debt. So what we've seen, as you well know, are people in these difficult situations where either their mortgages have reset, they were living on the edge, they've lost their job, or whatever's happened, and they've gone into default. And you go into default by not paying your mortgage. And what happens is when you go into default, the bank will send a list, a notice of default, it's called, to the county recorder. And you can actually go to the county recorder's office and get these lists. Sometimes there's a more legal term called a lis pendens that you can ask for that, or notice of default, NOD, people like to call it. And those are essentially the recorded properties that are at risk of being lost through mortgage foreclosure. So there's this period of time where you go into default, your property is listed, and you either need to pay off all that debt as the property owner, or you need to make a deal with somebody to take ownership, or a deal with the bank. And a lot of people do that through what are called short sales. And or if nothing happens, you risk losing the property through foreclosure. So at that point, what happens generally is the bank will list this, put this notice in. There'll be a date where there'll be a county auction held for that property, and other investors will have an opportunity to purchase that, or the bank will purchase that and will retain ownership in that property. And then the properties that the bank maintains, and this is where kind of we've gotten ourselves into, is that the banks now maintain hundreds of thousands of properties, and they were really never in the business of owning real estate, and they don't want to own real estate. So those are called REO properties, which stands for real estate-owned properties. And if you are checking with the bank, sometimes they will call them non-performing assets, because literally those are assets that the bank owns, and they're not performing. They're not earning an interest on those assets. So what I like to deal with and what we're going to talk about here are the REO opportunities, because they're huge. They're like I said, hundreds of thousands of these properties available. And in our particular part of the country, in the Kansas City area, that's what we're doing a lot of, is buying, selling, renting, and taking advantage of these incredibly cheap prices on REO properties. So let me skip forward here a little bit. And in order to take advantage of these REO properties, there's a few ways you can do this. It used to be that you would call the bank and ask to speak with a loan officer or a VP or somebody, with a little bit of knowledge, and ask about their non-performing assets. They would typically give you a list, and you would be on your way. And, it's not always that easy, and there would always be some runaround, but generally you could get a hold of the right person to get a hold of those lists. And you can still do that, but now there are so many of these properties that if you're not a big-time investor, they're really looking for people or companies to buy bundles of these properties. And the problem I have with these bundles, and I've dealt with this before, is that they'll bundle 50 to 100 of these properties together, and they'll make you purchase all 50 of those. Well, as you can imagine, 10 of those or 5 of those might be good properties, and the rest of them are real garbage. And, you know, their goal is to get rid of the garbage, and your goal is to only buy the gems. So I really am not a fan of that way of investing. I know you can make money doing that, and I know some people doing that, but I'll tell you what, there's a lot of pain and suffering involved in that. What I'm more a fan of is knowing what you're purchasing and actually having a realtor or having someone go out, take pictures, look inside, make sure it's structurally stable, see if the roof is collapsing. Just do the normal kind of due diligence that you would do in any type of a real estate transaction. So that's what we do with our properties here, and that's what this 10-10-10 foreclosure plan is all about that I'm going to speak about. So let's move on. So let's say you do purchase a property. What are you going to do with the property? That's always the big question. Are you going to flip it? Or that's a fancy term for just trying to sell it as quickly as possible and making a profit. Are you going to rent it? Are you going to lease option or lease, you know, make a deal with someone where they lease it for a certain period of time with an option to purchase? Are you going to sell it at a discount or wholesale it to another investor? Or are you going to own or finance it? These are all things that you need to think about when you buy that property, because every one of these properties are different and the market is different. Right now is not a very good time to be a flipper, as they're called. It's, you know, the market is still a little weak. Although I'm seeing it strengthen a little bit, it's still very difficult to rush into a property, fix it up, and then flip it for a decent profit. What this market is great for, in my opinion, and especially in certain markets, is renting the property and holding it for at least a year, 2 years, 3 years, and waiting for a little bit of a recovery. And the reason that is, at least in this area and many areas I know of, is that there's a long list of renters who are waiting for that property. There are many young couples, many people who have been scared out of the market. These are people that were thinking, yeah, maybe I can buy that first home. And then this downturn happened, and now they're going, there's no way I'm going to get in any debt right now. We're not going to buy. There are also the people who've been kicked out of homes. And guess what? They need somewhere to live. They have a family. They need, you know, they have to have a place to live. So the rental market, again, in my opinion, is extremely strong, and in a little bit here, I'm going to have my partner Angie speak with you about the market in Kansas City, but she can verify that it's very strong, and she has a list of renters waiting for some of these properties. So let's move on a little bit. I always like to not only talk about the good, but I like reality. So I think if any of you have, you know, looked at our products, read anything, talked to me before, or dealt with our company in any form or fashion, you know that we not only throw out the good, but we like to talk about the, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So let's talk about that for just a minute, what I call caveats, or, you know, from the word caveat emptor, buyer beware. Let's talk about what you might need to think about in the back of your mind before you even get into this, while you're into it, and while you're making a bunch of money doing it, to remember about as you purchase more properties, as you rent more properties, and as you start to sell these properties. One very, very important thing to remember is to learn how to screen renters. And when I screen renters, and I've owned many rental properties, there are two important things, I believe, to look at. I mean, you'll have them fill out a rental application. You can get those. I believe we have it with our package. There are free rental applications online. But the main thing to be concerned about is to call and verify with their previous landlord what type of renter they were. Did they pay on time? How late were they? Ask those kind of questions. Generally, you'll get a truthful answer. Sometimes there may be landlords that are in cahoots with someone, or there may be situations where the landlord just wants to get rid of them. But for the most part, you can kind of tell by the way they're acting, by the way they talk. And again, most people will tell the truth if given the opportunity. The second most important thing, I believe, is employment. You need to definitely verify the employment, and not only verify it, but make sure that they can really afford your rental property. For example, I've had, people try to rent my properties, and I may only be asking $750 a month, for example, and they'll come in and they'll show me that they're making $1,200 per month, and that's what they make for a living. And I'm just looking at them going, how in the world are you going to pay $750 a month plus utilities plus living expenses and food? There's no way. So one of the things, and I believe I mentioned it in the book, that I do immediately is I look at the rental applications, I verify employment, call the employer, make sure that's what they're truly making, that their prospects still look good, and I make sure that they make at least three times their rent. That's just my own personal rule, but I can't imagine anybody being able to live somewhere and just make barely above the amount that they're paying in rent. It just doesn't make sense. So that's something to remember. As far as these foreclosures, I want you to remember that they're not perfect. Vandalism can occur. When people leave these foreclosures, they're angry. They're angry with the world. They may rip out plumbing. They may take the air conditioner with them. Who knows? Rip out the garbage disposal. Try to do whatever they can. So sometimes you're going into these, and there's going to be repairs. There's going to be fix-up. You're going to have to make them look pretty. So try to become as much of an expert as possible, unless you're using someone's help, in knowing how much things are going to cost. What will it cost to replace a furnace, a hot water heater, plumbing? What's it going to cost to repaint, to fix the floors, to fix a couple broken windows, all of that kind of stuff. So you should be able to, after a while, to go in a place, just take a 30-minute assessment of the place and determine whether it's going to cost $5,000, $2,000, $10,000, whatever number. You won't be perfect and you'll have to get estimates, but you're going to want to make those decisions as quickly as possible, or you're going to want to have somebody do that for you who knows what they're doing. So also remember that if you have to do rehab, it takes a little bit of time. You're not going to fix all that in one day or 2 days. There's always going to be issues. It's going to probably take 4 to 5 weeks minimum to fix these things. A big thing to remember right now is, again, back to it being a rental market, this is not a time to be thinking about buying a foreclosure and selling it in 1 or 2 months after you've bought it. I'm not saying you can't do that. It is done. It can be done. It's been done for many years, but that's not the type of market. And so don't mislead yourself that you're going to pay $15,000 and flip it and sell it for $30,000, pay a couple fees and make $10,000 or $15,000 in a period of a month or two. That's probably not going to happen. What you are going to be able to do is get a fantastic price like that, like the $15,000, $20,000, $25,000 that I mentioned. You're going to be able to immediately rent that, fix it up, rent it, and get a decent renter in, maybe get a renter that's on the government Section 8 program, and we deal with that all the time, and get that cash flow coming in. So one other thing I want to talk about is it's a difficult time to get money right now. So really, cash is king as far as getting into these REO properties. That's why I believe a market like we have here in Kansas City works out really well, because there are properties literally that we can show you that you can pay $5,000 for. You know, in that range, $5,000, $10,000, $20,000, $25,000, $30,000, that is not out of the reach of many professionals who have worked for a few years. That's not out of the reach even of a couple people coming together to put together an LLC and put a few thousand dollars in it. I mean, these are incredible prices. These are the same kind of prices that a few years ago you would have been talking to a bank to get financing, and you would have had to put 20 or 30% down and finance the rest of it. Well, now you're, the 20 or 30% you're putting down is possibly the same what you're paying for these properties in cash. So that's why I believe it's an incredible market. And every time I look at these properties, and Angie just showed me some more tonight, I can't believe it's this way, because I think in a few years from now, everyone's going to look back at each other and go, wow, I really missed out on that. And I'm not saying it's perfect. And believe me, rental properties have their own fair share of pain and suffering. But in the end, you can make a lot of money. It's not hard, and you don't have to be a genius to do this type of investing. So let me give you some examples. We purchased just recently a Fannie Mae REO for $14,500. We renovated it for $3,000. It's valued at about $60,000, and it's receiving rent right now of $600 per month. There's one example. Let me give you another example. We recently purchased a property from Wells Fargo Bank. Cost us $18,500. We renovated it. I'm not sure, I don't have the renovation cost down.
That one was about $2,000.
About $2,000. I've got Angie right here with me, and she'll be on the phone in just a second. And it's been appraised at $52,000, and it's renting right now at $750 a month. Another example, we purchased a property from Bank of New York. The purchase price was about $40,000. Renovation was almost nothing, $500. It's appraised at almost $75,000, and it's renting for $950 per month. So this is really not so much a long, drawn-out educational opportunity on this teleseminar. This is just to tell you that if you want to take advantage of this, you should take advantage of this. And I'm not saying you necessarily have to go with us with our 10-10-10 plan, which I'm talking about, but I really think you should get involved in foreclosures in some form or fashion. Find a market that's either near you, that you know about, that somebody can manage these properties for you, and take advantage of the opportunities, because I truly believe these are the best foreclosures I've seen, well, in my lifetime, but you know, probably in the last 25, 30, 40 years. These prices are incredible, and the banks have a glut, and they just want to get rid of this, and they want to move on with their lives. So their lives as a business, that is. So what can you do? Well, you don't have to use us. You can certainly contact a realtor, like I said, have them do some MLS searches, and they will search directly for REO properties. And they can find you the opportunities, and you can go out and look at them, screen them. You can do it all yourself. That's completely up to you. Again, if you want to get in on this before they're REOs, you can contact the county, ask for those NODs, and find out which properties are about to go into foreclosure. And if you're more of a hands-on kind of person and you want to deal with negotiating with people or negotiating with the banks, you can certainly go that way. If you're interested in working with us, our area is here in Kansas City. We know it. We're making good deals here, and we don't want to stray away from this area. We have contractors in place. We have the rental management in place, and we have the whole infrastructure in place here. So if you're interested in the 10-10-10 foreclosure plan, which I have been talking about, that would be that we find you a property and we negotiate the price down as far as possible So we typically look for a property. Let's say a bank has a property for $40,000. We will negotiate that down as far as possible with your permission. And we typically, we'll start, let's say it's a $40,000 property. I'm just throwing out some numbers. We'll start at maybe $28,000 or $30,000 and see where the bank will go from there. So what I'm saying is the 10% of the 10-10-10 foreclosure plan is not only for the finding of the property, it's also for negotiating the price down. And that, that's extremely important. Some people are really good at negotiating and some aren't. And if you're not that good at negotiating, then let us take care of that. And that's what we do. We've negotiated the prices down incredibly with some of the banks that we're working with. The other 10 of the 10-10-10 foreclosure plan is the fix-up part. We have contractors in place. We've worked out deals. And we're basically getting incredible deals from a number of contractors that we have that will put HVAC units in, fix roofs, paint, fix hardwood floors, whatever is necessary to get that going. And we charge a 10% management fee for that. But believe me, you'll save a lot more than 10% by using the contractors that we have in place. And if anybody's had rental properties, that will scare you to death when something happens in a property and you have to actually pull out the yellow pages and call a plumber or call an HVAC guy, not having known them not having known them at all. And I've done that. I've been ripped off several times in my early life, and I'm sure many others have. And you've probably been ripped off with your own houses. So that's an incredible part of the offer, I believe, as well. The last part of the 10-10-10 plan is the management fee. And again, if anybody's managed and owned a lot of rental properties, you'll know that there's two ways to do it. You can either save that money and do everything yourself and be ready for the phone calls, Sunday afternoon while you're watching a football game for the plumbing that's leaking or the roof that's leaking or my air conditioner doesn't work or this or that. Or you can have someone manage that for you. And, of course, it's not free, but it depends on your level wanting to take on a little bit of that pain in order to make your return slightly higher. So that's the last part of that plan. And I believe it's a pretty fair plan. We've been doing this for a while now. I've lived and grew up in Kansas City my whole life, and I've owned many rental properties here. And so Angie as well, we know this area. And as I said, we're not looking to stray away from this area. We're just looking to concentrate and maximize this area ourselves. And we're also buying our own properties as well. So, I will tell you that, again, we eat our own cooking and we do this ourselves. So what I would like to do right now is this is going to be a fairly quick phone call. I'm going to let Angie talk about a few things that she's seen recently. And at the end of this, I'll give you my email address. And I would like for anyone to send me an email if you're interested in receiving a list of some of these properties that Angie has available. And they range from single-family houses, and occasionally we have duplexes or quads or even apartment buildings available. And I think she'll show you, but she just showed me an apartment building that's available right now for $80,000. It's a six-unit apartment building, and that's just unheard of, really. I mean, that's the price of a single-family house or less. So let me let her talk for just a few minutes. I'll get back on. We'll make sure that you get the list of properties. And again, feel free to contact me if you just have questions related to your own type of investing. This is not the hard sell for getting you to invest here in Kansas City. This is the hard sell for getting you to think about investing in foreclosures. So as part of your package, as part of being a Rogue Investor member, you get the access to me anyway. You can ask me questions. You can send me emails. So I don't want that. I don't want you to feel like this is only about selling properties in Kansas City. So without further ado, I'll let Angie talk for just a minute, and I'll get back with you. And we'll have a small question and answer session. So stay tuned.
Hi, this is Angie. Recently, I have found several great properties. A lot of them are as low as $4,000, and I've personally walked through all of these properties, and they're going to probably take about $10,000 to fix them up. Right now, I have a huge list of renters. I have a waiting list of renters, and I receive probably about 10 phone calls a day with people inquiring if we have any new rental properties. So I think right now it's a great opportunity, and my screening process is pretty thorough, and right now all the properties we have are rented, and we have really good renters, and the income that it's generating is tremendous. So I think that this is the best opportunity to do this. I have a great team of contractors on staff. I have a heating and cooling guy who does furnaces, air conditioners, plumbing, and electrical. I also have a team of guys who do painting and drywall and things like that, as well as a team who does lawn care, trash removal, all that kind of stuff. So the good thing is that we've already got the team in place, so the trial and error has already been done on our end. So that would be something that an individual wouldn't have to worry about, because we've already got a great team in place. So I think probably the easiest way is for us to maybe open it up to question and answers, so that I could answer specific questions, because I think Mike pretty much covered everything. And like you said, we're out there doing this every day. Right now I'm managing several properties and doing rehabs and things like that, so I'm pretty much on the ground doing all this. So if you have any questions, I would be glad to answer them at this time. Just a second. Do I need to do star 6 to talk to people?
No, they need to do star 6.
Oh, I'm a participant, though, right?
Yes, hi, this is Michael, back again, and I want to tell you that if you'd like to ask a question, go ahead and you'll need to press star 6, I believe it is, to unmute yourself.
Michael, are you there?
Yes.
How are you?
I'm fine. Hi, who is this?
This is Bernie. I'm in Los Angeles.
Hi, Bernie. How are you doing?
Good, good. I'm just wondering, I'm hearing what you're saying, and What the first part, I didn't get the first 10%. What is that about? The 10% is the down payment? Is that what you said?
No, that's our finder's fee. That's our fee for finding your property, one of these properties like Angie mentioned, you know?
Okay, I got you. All right. So, that's what I didn't get. I didn't catch it through the phone line. So it's a 10% finder's fee, and 10%, the other 10% is management, and the other 10% is what?
The second 10% is if there's any fix-up. Let's say you have to spend $1,000 to fix it up, then we just to manage the contractors, we would charge 10%, which is an extra $100. That makes sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then the last 10% is just the monthly management fee, so that we collect rents and, you know, take care of the hassles of renting.
So you have access to the MLS list to get these properties?
Yes, we do. Yeah.
Okay.
We do. And Angie does searches pretty much every day. She just showed me some stuff, like I said, today. the apartment building and a few of those houses priced as low as $4,000 or $5,000. We have some that are ready to walk, you know, no fix up basically for roughly in the $25,000 to $30,000 range. So, you know, I guess what I'm getting at is this is just kind of a different market right now. You know, we're all used to leverage and using other people's money and all that kind of stuff, which I still agree with. But now the prices are so low, banks are so stubborn, that it almost makes sense to just come together either as partners with someone, pull out some IRA money, or find a way to come up, you know, with a few thousand dollars and just pay cash for these properties.
Yeah.
So it's kind of that market right now. Does that make
sense? Is it worth it to invest for me out of state? Would it be worth it? You think?
I think it is, and we have people from out of state doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You certainly are welcome to come here at least once, and we'll take you around, and you can look at the area, and then you'll know from there on out what it all looks like, and you'll have a better feeling for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, that reminds me, at the end of August, we're doing a four-day workshop here in Kansas City, and we're going to include the foreclosure part as part of that.
Mm-hmm.
So you would get the tax liens, and you would get the foreclosures all wrapped into that. We're actually going to go out and look at some of these. But you don't have to wait for that. You can certainly do that before, and Angie just has taken some people out just recently looking at properties.
We have Michael, can you give me your email address, because I got to go into a meeting here in about half an hour?
Sure. Let me give that to you. It's michael@rogueinvestment.com.
Wait. What is it, Michael?
Yes.
Hold on. Give me 1 second. Let me put it in here. Michael?
Yes.
At
rogueinvestor.com. R-O-G-U-E-I-N-V-E-S-T-O-R.
R-O-G-U-E?
I-N-V-E-S-T-O-R.
Dot com. And then what about Angie? What's hers?
Mine is ANGI@rogueinvestor.com.
@rogueinvestor.com.
Right.
And, so it's just Angie with one I.
It's just ANGI. There's no E on the end.
And if for some reason the emails blow up or something happens, you can get on our site, rogueinvestor.com, and there should be contact information right on the site that will get to us. And also, you can call, too. You don't have to send an email. Our phone number here is 913.
Hold on. Let me write that down. Give me a second, because I'm on my cell phone.
Okay, yeah, okay. No problem.
Okay, 913.
381.
381.
4520.
Okay. All right. 913-381-4520.
Yes, correct.
Okay, great. All right, I'll send you guys an email, and should I send you or both an email, right?
You can send it to us both. That's fine.
Okay. Sounds great. I'll be in contact with you. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you.
Very good. And
bye-bye.
Michael, yes. My name is David. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
I'm calling from Vancouver, David Aroeste.
Okay.
I spoke with you way back after I bought your course, and I was quite impressed by it. I'll be brief because I know other people want to ask you guys some questions.
Sure, no problem. And if I can't address everybody's questions, send me an email, and I'll set up a separate time to speak with anyone. I don't want anybody to feel pressure or stressed out, or maybe they need to catch a TV show tonight or whatever. Tired of hearing me talk, probably. So, okay, go ahead.
I spoke with Angie a few days ago, about a good 40 minutes on the phone, and the three questions that I have here is, my interest is in buying probably 5 to 10 properties.
Okay.
do you guys have plenty of properties kind of available so that if I go and fly there, I can see a few quickly and make some decisions, or are you just getting one or two every week? I don't know. Do you have enough properties to, if somebody wants to buy more than one or two?
Yeah, Angel, answer.
Yeah, David, I remember talking to you the other day. Anyway, what I usually do if someone's going to come to Kansas City to view properties, I normally will preview them prior to you coming. So I'll pick maybe 20 or so, and I'll go preview them to make sure it's something that's suitable to show you or something that would be a good match for you. So that way, if you have limited time, we already have some properties already picked out to look at.
Okay, and that's something you can send me before I go, of course, as we talk.
Yes, absolutely. The only thing with that is I can always send you a list of properties, but just keep in mind that these inexpensive REOs, they go very quickly. So I might send you a list of 10 properties, and then when you get here, maybe 3 of them are sold, and then we have to replace them with some different ones. But, yeah, absolutely, I can send you a list.
I'd like to go ahead. You have my email. I want to get a quick Eagles view of this. I have no idea of. You guys are talking about Kansas City, Missouri. Is that where you guys are located?
Kansas City, Missouri. Yes.
That's where you're located.
That is where the properties are located. Our office is actually in Kansas, but Kansas and Missouri are one and the same. I mean, they're really close together. So.
Okay. Quickly here, the other two questions is for rentals. You only have under management about 17 properties. As this grows and you guys get into 100, 200 properties for management, do you have enough infrastructure and experience to manage quite a few more than 17?
Yes, I do. I mean, I manage the ones I have quite easily, and like I said before, I have a really good team. So a key to management is having a really good team in place. Like if I get a call of something wrong with one of the properties, I have people I can call who can immediately go take care of it. I have a good team of people who help me. And as well, my team lives in the area where the properties are, and I live in the area where the properties are. So I live just a few blocks from where all these homes are located.
Okay. And this question is for Michael. Michael, this is the last question.
Uh-huh.
There's a whole universe of opportunities in the States right now. In Canada, we have a different kind of scenario, very solid market, real estate-wise. But for foreclosures, why would we choose Kansas City, Missouri, over and above other places in the States? Is it because it's steady rentals, or the rental to the value of the property is high and juicy? Other than you guys being there, of course, what other good reasons do you have for Kansas City, Missouri, as opposed to any other similar towns in the States with good opportunity?
Well, actually, I think there are several similar cities that you could choose from. So I really think the biggest thing is that we're here, we have the infrastructure in place, and we'll help you. But I could, you know, there are other places. I mean, you can go to the other side of Missouri in St. Louis. There's good opportunities. Indianapolis, I've seen good opportunities. I mean, there are a lot of places that I think have really good opportunities in the States. If you're looking to spend more money, there are some areas that I believe offer good opportunities. I mentioned Las Vegas, for example, some of the higher price markets. Those are good opportunities too. You're not going to pay $5,000 to $20,000. You're going to be paying more like, you know, $150,000 to $250,000 for something that maybe used to sell for $350,000 or $400,000. It all kind of depends on what you want. I do think Kansas City, among other things, is a very stable place.
Okay.
We're not an oil economy. We're not a mineral economy. We're not. It's just in the midst of the boom in real estate, we didn't have the boom here. We had real estate go up, But it didn't go up 50% in 1 year like it did in Las Vegas. You know, at the height of the boom in Kansas City, we were having appreciation in the maybe as high as 10%. But typically what we have here is about, in the 7% range. And we've had it for year after year after year after year. Now it's pulled back just like everything, it's a very stable place to live. I live here, so I would say it's not perfect, and I wish there was an ocean closer to where I live. But I guess that's why I go out to Dominican and Mediterranean and some of these other places to get it out of my system. But I don't think, and I don't want to convince you otherwise that this is the only place. What I said, I want to convince you is that foreclosure investing in the United States in many locations is very good right now. And if you want to go it on your own, there are a lot of other places. But I would at least try to pick an area where you understand what's going on and where contractors won't rip you off and where just really understand the area. And I really say that about tax liens and tax deeds too. You can't conquer everything. So find maybe one or two places, two or three at the most, and kind of become an expert in that area.
Absolutely. And Michael, I'm sold completely on the buying foreclosure. This is a historical opportunity.
Sure.
I'm focusing on cash flow. That's my main objective.
Uh-huh.
And I'm looking for the highest cash flow town or towns. But if you guys have a full team together, I'm a hands-off investor. I don't want to be getting those calls. I have excellent property managers here in town.
Okay.
That I use. So maybe what you guys have is exactly what I need.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we'd love to talk to you, and you can decide, later on, what you'd like to do. But sure, I think that sounds great. So be sure to contact us.
I appreciate your help, and Angie, when you have a chance, please send me a little bit of a summary.
I'll do that. Thanks.
Hi, Michael. It's Noel here in Edmonton.
Hey, Noel in Edmonton. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing good. How about you?
Oh, fine.
Hi, Noel.
Good to hear from you.
Hi, Angie. Miss you guys at InvestFest.
Yeah. How did you have a good time?
Dr. Hub, yeah.
Yeah.
As you know, we sort of held off because we didn't know what kind of deals were going to be offered at InvestFed and so forth. So we're going to be out of town for the next few days. But I think one of your emails said you're going to talk about, a foreign investor like we are. And we've set up a Wyoming corporation, so we could buy it with that and so do you kind of have some helpful advice in that whole regard?
Yeah. I mean, I do need to do that, actually. I'll send you the information personally,
okay.
But I do think I need to send out a newsletter explaining, what you can and can't do as a foreign investor and that kind of thing.
That would be very, very helpful. And Angie, here's another question. Can we do our own negotiating? Like, Michael, you mentioned that if it was listed at 40, so you might offer 28 to 30 to start with. I'd probably offer 19 to 21 or something.
I would too. I would probably offer.
Okay, all right.
I'm just too nice. I just can't.
I love to lowball. That's my favorite. Yeah, I love to negotiate really low, so
yeah,
you don't have to worry about that.
Okay.
But actually, before I do any negotiations, I run it past you first with every negotiation. Every time we counter back and forth, I will consult you with that.
Okay. I'll tell you, we bought a package of houses in Saskatchewan, and just by offering low, saved $800,000.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even counter, so, you start. Most people like to split the difference, so start with a big difference instead of a little one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, so I just wanted to confirm that. And so, Angie, will you start looking for stuff for us? Like that six-suiter apartment, I don't know if that would last very long, but something like that would be of interest.
Yeah, and that's an amazing deal. That price is the rehabbed price.
And
the,
how much is
the price with it ready to rent? Are you talking about the $80,000 one?
Yeah, I think that's the one Michael mentioned.
Yeah.
Is it gone yet?
It actually went on the market yesterday. What I'll need to do is do a little research tomorrow and actually walk inside of it, huh?
Can you take a look at it and then tie it up for us?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, will you do that?
Yep.
What's the cash flow on that?
Off the top of my head, I would say at least $750 per unit. I've not actually worked the numbers out yet because I just found
when you
it.
You say $750, we're talking net after taxes and insurance?
We're talking gross.
Oh, gross, $750, and that's 6 units, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
And taxes and insurance going to be, well, on $80,000.
The taxes will be about $1,200 per year.
My God.
And
on the whole place?
Yeah. And the insurance will run probably about $1,000 per year or maybe $1,200 per year for insurance.
Are we going to get decent renters there?
I manage a sixplex that's two doors down from it.
Okay.
And I do very well with it, so, I mean.
Okay. Well, maybe better. I'm going to be around in the morning. I'll give you a call, and let's negotiate on that.
Okay.
And we'll just buy the thing if it's still available.
Okay. Sounds good.
Right.
Sounds good, Noel.
Okay, thank
you. I'll give you a call in the morning, then.
Yep.
Good to hear from you, Noel.
Yeah, good to talk to you guys. You call me anytime after 9 o'clock your time.
Okay.
I'm in Mountain Time here in Edmonton.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So don't call you at 5 in the morning?
No.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Any other questions?
Hey, Michael, this is David again.
Yes.
Hi. Noel is the gentleman that just spoke with you guys, right?
Yes.
If possible, I'd like to connect with him just so that we live in the same country, maybe we can synergize a little bit with some information.
Oh, okay, absolutely, absolutely. I work with a lot of Canadians, and I have many friends, and so I really need to put together what's, you know, whether it's good or bad, I almost don't consider Canada, you know, a different country. I just, you know,
actually,
almost consider it part of...
sort of like part of Canada.
So, anyway, I need to put that information together, and David, I will get the same information to you as well, and I'll make sure everybody has it. Anybody that's on the call, I'll make sure they have that same information if you're living outside of the States.
Okay.
Great.
And David, my phone number is 780.
780,
432.
5492. Mine is 604-771-2175. That's my cell.
Okay. And it's David?
David, yep.
Okay. Call me next week.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, that's great. Yeah, that's some networking if I've ever heard it.
Yeah. It sounds like it to me.
So that's good. That's good. All right. Anybody else have any questions? If not, I'm going to wrap it up. And, again, feel free to send me an email, call me, or Angie. And if you have any other questions, you know, we'll just make sure they're all addressed. So hopefully everybody will take advantage of this.
Oh, yeah.
And in some form or fashion, take advantage
Michael,
of the foreclosure opportunities. Yes?
One question.
Sure.
Do you guys, this is Bernie again, actually, from California. I was just listening.
Hi, Bernie.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You guys would also find the tenants for the property, right?
Yes, that's part of the management fee.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I've already sent you an email, so please look out for that. It's bernardo.rosie@gmail.com. You'll see that in your email.
Okay, I'll check for it.
All right, thank you, Michael.
All right, very good.
Thanks, Bernie.
All right, thanks, Angie.
Okay. Thank you, everyone, and stay tuned. We'll have another teleseminar pretty soon. And anybody that's on here or who expressed interest in the foreclosures, we are going to send some information to you separately and make sure you have everything you need. So,
excellent.
Once again, thanks a lot, and okay. Look forward to talking to you soon.
You betcha.
Thank you,
thanks
Mike.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye now.
Bye.